You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast, where we'll be looking ahead to the action at Suttle and Fontwell on this edition. We've also got Irish racing from Leopardstown to come on Sunday. It should be a fantastic day of action. As ever, you'll hear every race live from 1:50pm on Racing Radio with Luke Elder, Mick Norton and Alistair Whitehouse-Jones in the studio. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Sam.
You well?
I am.
Good.
Yeah. Do I look well?
Yeah, you do. You look in rude health, sir.
That's all I need to know.
Has the Cheltenham preparation stepped up a few notches over the last few days and weeks, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. Yeah, I can't wait for it now. Those of us that adore the 4 days at Prestbury Park are counting down. It's almost like an advent calendar of ticking each day off. Was it how many more sleeps to Cheltenham, as they say at Christmas?
16, 17.
Exactly,
like
yeah.
That.
I just love it. And yeah, I've got a rough idea of how most of my strategies are going to pan out. It's just the handicaps now, which I'm going to get involved in the next week, because I won't bet in any of them until I know roughly what the grounds are going to be. So sort of like this time next week, and filtering into the actual festival week itself, when we get the long-range forecasts, you can whittle it down to, you know, whether it's going to go back, get edging towards good, or whether there's more weather fronts coming in, and it kind of like maintains it at good to soft in places, which it is currently. So yeah, there's a lot of work to be done between now and then, but yeah, it's all bubbling up nicely.
Yeah, certainly. It is well worth paying attention to the ground, particularly with a couple of those tricky handicaps. You were in the studio yesterday, Andy, on Friday. We didn't see anything really Cheltenham worthy on Friday, but we must doff our cap to an animal who seems to be really enjoying the game over at Dundalk.
Yeah, regular podcasters and listeners to William Hill Radio on Friday evenings must have come across a horse trying by Mickey Halfa called Hatal Nasser. If you haven't, you must have been on Planet Mars,
yeah.
I think. He's just been an incredibly durable servant to Connections, who must absolutely adore him. And, of course, he won his big race, or biggest race today, last night, when he beat virtually all the best seven furlong horses put in front of him in dogged fashion. He did it the hard way as well. He made all the running. Looks as though he's going to get swamped, but he stuck his neck out and got his just rewards. I think that's now the fourth time, maybe fifth even, that he's won. He's yet to be out the first three. And he's just made of granite, isn't he? He just keeps coming back. He's almost like a marine, isn't he?
Mm.
The more work you pump into him, the more he seems to love it. And
relishes it.
He does. Yeah, absolutely fantastic horse. And yeah, well done to Mickey Halford. Not many press boys or hacks will make anything of it. But rest assured, we're here at William Hill, including the Dundalk Disciples, certainly do doff our caf to Hatal Nasser.
Yeah, absolutely. At this side of the Irish Sea, it was a big momentous day for Richard Johnson, and who brought up 200 winners in a season for the first time. He'd been stuck on 199 for about 5 days, I think. A fantastic achievement to a jockey who's always been top class and so many times has had to play the bridesmaid to AP.
Yeah, a lot of expectation, of course, were on his shoulders this year, weren't there? Being as though AP's retired and he was just expected to, do what he's been normally doing. It's never as easy as that, but he has made it look pretty straightforward. He's basically got all the others knocked into a cocked hat. Sam Twiston Davis, who is the second favourite and a solid second favourite at that, hasn't been able to touch him. And he continues from strength to strength, riding with a massive amount of confidence. I think he's, you know, about 80-odd winners clear now, isn't it?
Yes.
Which is quite a remarkable tally. Don't think he, even in his wildest dreams, come 2 weeks before Cheltenham, he thought he'd get anywhere near the 200 mark, but he has. How many he ends up with is anyone's doubt. Certainly going to be his career highest. And just goes to show what an amazing man Tony McCoy was to keep this fella at bay.
Yeah.
And beat him quite comfortably year in, year out. But yeah, great moment for Richard Johnson. He's going to get his true reward at the end of the season. And I think we all in the racing press and people that love racing will salute him.
Yes, absolutely. Sincerest congratulations to Richard Johnson. Looks as though he's got a few more years in the tank as well, Andy. Still looks to be enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. Still looks as fresh-faced as ever. He's almost like, you know, when you see people like sort of Des O'Connor and Cliff Richard on TV, you think, God, they're never in their 80s, are they, them fellas?
Yeah.
Can't be. They must be taking something. Richard Johnson's the same. He's just made of steel. Doesn't get injured very often. That's another good thing as well. He's got that lovely, perfect body shape, hasn't he? And he's got a great chance, of course, having his season round off in the best possible fashion with plenty of good rides at the festival for his main stable jockey. But a lot of people will be after Richard Johnson, as a really good spare substitute.
Yeah, I suppose that's the helpful thing when you've got a reputation like he has. He picks up a lot of spare rides and good ones at that.
Yeah. Not sure Willie Mullins is going to be knocking on his door because I don't think he's ridden too many for Willie. But, a lot of the bigger stables will be... certainly looking for Mr. R. Johnson to get the leg over one of their horses.
Yes, they will. In other news then, it's just been announced this morning that Victoria Pendleton is going to ride in another couple of points of points as she looks to further her progress towards the Fox Hunters at Cheltenham, which was obviously dealt a little bit of a blow after that fall at Fakenham. Where do you stand on it, Andy? Is it good exposure for racing?
I do. I think it is very good exposure for racing, no matter how we look at it. We do often get racing paid in a bad light, and we do get the worst side of it, you know, the doping, the jockey scandals and this, that and the other. So it's nice when we've got a nice positive spin on it. And for those who don't pay any attention to national racing, most people will probably have heard somewhere along the line of Vicky Pendleton, obviously through her media career after her fantastic achievements in the saddle, courtesy of Strictly Come Dancing and one or two other panel shows. And a lot of people probably out in the wild world, they're unaware that Vicky Pendleton's even into racing or has been taking it more seriously, of course, as she has done. It's just a little bit disconcerting the way her progress has tried to be fast-forwarded to the big target of the festival and, of course, the Fox Hunters. I think ideally, and it's never an ideal world, is it? But if it was, that charity race which was put on for a lot of... so-called people behind the scenes in racing and smaller celebrities, that would have been perfect for her because she hadn't got to jump any fences. They raced over, what was that, a mile?
Similar, yeah.
And it was after racing on the Wednesday. It was a bit of a more of a laid-back occasion and there was less pressure on that, albeit, you know, you were going through the rituals of riding in a race. I think that would have been ideal for her. Perhaps riding that, if there was, and obviously that event has been scrapped now, if there was that race, that would have been odd. Then perhaps within another year, you earn your stripes, you earn your badges, and then you think about riding the Fox Hunters. But she's got very limited experience. And as we saw the other day, albeit probably wasn't all her own fault, I don't think necessarily that was the case that people are highlighting. She did look a little bit frail at one or two other obstacles where you think, oh, God, you know, is she going to come off? It looks as if she's going to come off at any stage. Mm. So I have my reservations. They'll try and... give it a positive spin, all the people that are backing her, you know, all the Betfair boys and all that lot. But I'm not sure whether, like I say, this year is quite going to be ideal for her. But we'll watch this space.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, she may not be up against the absolute top jockeys in the Fox Hunters, but the likes of Jamie Card, I mean, these are incredibly seasoned jockeys, aren't they? Despite the fact that they might not be the absolute top tier boys.
Well, it's a brutal affair, the Fox Hunters. You know, there's no quarter asked or given at all. It's their one only opportunity. It's not like, you know, you're professional and you've got 27 other rides if things don't go right. They've got one chance, most of them. And that's why, therefore, they ride it as if their life depended on it. And it'll be a massive culture shock for Vicky Pendleton. It's not like going around a point of point with six or seven runners and you can just potter your way around and everything's all nice and genteel. You know, this is real cut and thunder stuff. And, you know, I just personally speak, I don't think she's got enough experience. Whether she ends up riding in the race for her own personal goals and just potters round the back and gets round almost like Geometries did many years ago in the Grand National as a female achievement, that's down to her mindset. But I think a lot of people are just a little bit concerned that it is probably a year too soon.
Yeah, there's very much, as you say.
Better judges than I am as well with looking at jockeys.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. No hiding place very much in the Fox Hunters. We'll see what pans out with that. We must move ahead to matters closer at hand, though, now, Andy. We'll look at four races to come on Sunday. We've got three from Fontwell and one from Suddle to bring you, but we start with Fontwell's 250. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and five furlongs. We've got nine runners who go down for this Class 4. What's caught the eye here?
Well, most times I look at Fontwell, I'm always looking at Gary Moore, so I'm drawn to Golan over here, who bounced back to form the other day at this track by winning quite comfortably, beat a nice horse of Ben Paulins, who was strongly fancied, called Showboater. I know there was only three runners in the race and one of them fell, but this horse made most of the running, always looked in control. And clearly this track, like a lot of Gary's, are well suited to not travelling too far. He was a bit disappointed in the time before when the ground was a bit quick in that really good race that Donny won by Golliston Cloud. And that race has run at a real helter-skelter pace, and the winner and the six have gone in since, so you could forgive him that. But he's pretty adaptable regards ground. We know he goes on a quicker surface, so it dries out, it's not so bad. And if they get a drop of rain down there, which is highly unlikely, he should be fine either way. But he still remains on a handy enough mark off 113. So with Cloudy Bob running, of course, today, that could be one of his main market rivals out of the way as it stands, and he'd be the one for me.
OK, Golan over then for Gary Moore getting the vote in the 250. The 320 at Fontwell is the next race for us on the podcast, and indeed the feature race of the day on Sunday. This is the Grade 2 National Spirits Hurdle coming up at 320. 11 runners are down for this 2 mile, 3 furlong contest. An interesting field that's lined up here, Andy. What do you make of it?
Yeah, really interesting field. You're right. 11 runners, which is almost unheard of with this race. Usually get small field, so plenty of good betting opportunities. I think they'll probably bet 3-4 to 1 the field. I'd imagine Adrian Dupont will be up there in the top end of the market, courtesy, of course, of his win in the Grade 1 at Chepstow. It's always an odd race, that, the finale, in recent years. You usually get horses that are very much seen as long-term projects and they don't really want to go to Cheltenham running in that. It's often run on heavy ground and a lot of the big guns avoid it. So it's a little bit weak in quality. I mean, he did only beat Sheik Naim, who's got readily brushed aside before and afterwards. So his overall form, possibly wouldn't entitle him to be an absolute knocking bet here, but he's obviously of interest. But I'd be more keener on Paul Nichols's second string, supposedly anyway, in the shape of San Benedito. Now, he's had plenty of experience in these kind of races, and his form stands up to the closest expectation. He won at Wincanton on the year. He was a bit disappointed in the old Jerry Fielden hurdle behind Stern Rubin when he was favourite, but the ground was really bad that day and a lot of horses didn't run their race. He bumped into a strong stare at Newbury when he looked like winning in the shape of One Track Mind, but that horse outrun him, and I think Warren's going to run him in the Pertemps final. And I thought he ran a really good race in what I got a very strong time figure for down at Huntingdon the other day, beyond a horse of Paul Nichols. He's called Balalette de la Roque. Value at Risk was second, I think. He's Cheltenham Festival bound. The speed figure, because I got for that, was absolutely tremendous for the grade. And I thought this horse did really well to only get beat 10 lengths by those two potentially well handicapped types. He has got a little bit to find on the ratings, but 2.5 miles round the sharpest track will suit this fella. He's got a decent cruising speed. I haven't seen the prices, but whatever it is, I'd imagine he'd outrun his odds.
Okay, San Benedito then getting the vote for Andy. Paul Nichols and Nick Schofield teaming up on that one. We go to the 450 now at Fontwell. This is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and a furlong. 10 runners line up for this one. What stands out here?
Yeah, I didn't think this was a particularly strong race, and I'm quite surprised that Erin's Air is only rated 113, having won quite tidily in his first handicap bout the other day down in Market Raising, when he beat another horse who takes him on again in the shape of Armand Massini. And he's got a little bit of back class as well prior to that, finishing third to Mar de Fou, of course, Warren Great Chicks' horse, who I think went on to win a decent race subsequently at Huntingdon. Just trying to think of the name of the race now. Is it the Sydney Banks? That's right. The race, yeah. I'm struggling with. So, you know, he's been keeping good company. And, yeah, the handicapper hasn't dealt him too harsh of a blow. Didn't think there was that many horses with too much upside in this race, where he has. He's fairly lightly racing. Dan Skelton's horse at the moment are absolutely on fire, as we all know. Winners the other day, Girly Girl, Captain Chaos, and plenty of others along the way. Born Survivor and listened to The Man as well in a bumper at the same track when he had a double. So he rarely leaves any race course nowadays empty-handed, and he's got a decent chance with this one here.
OK, Andy's thoughts there in the 450. We go to Suddle now for their 340. Handicap hurdle here over just shy of 3 miles. 9 runners go down for it. What's the selection here?
I'll take a little bit of a chance that away for Slate bounces back to form. He was really good when he won at Musselburgh on good to soft ground two starts ago, and he beat subsequent winners Tio Vivo and So Satisfied. The time for that race is really good, and I back both of the second and the third next time out. I also backed away for Slate because of the figure. Next time out at Market Racing, he sent off favourite, and he completely bounced to the moon, or stroke didn't handle the really heavy conditions that day. It was punishing ground. They went a good gallop, and he just couldn't lay up, and he was pulled up in the end once he was a beaten horse. But you could forgive any horse for running badly on that ground. But that said, the form has worked out really well at that race, so it looks as though it was a good heat. Cotillion, who was second, has won. Palm Grey, the fourth, has won. So, he was in quite deep that day. I think he'll probably rate the ground tomorrow at Southwell, as it's drying all the time, will probably just ride on the softer side of good. So it'll give him every chance of getting some purchase under his feet. He's got the hood on as well for the first time, which of course is an interesting manoeuvre by Connections. So all in all, he might represent a little bit of value tomorrow.
Away for Slates then for Keith Dalglish, getting the vote in the 3:40 at Suddle. As always, please, then, Andy, can we just get a quick summary from yourself on the four selections for Sunday?
Yeah, well, being as that one's more fresher on my mind, I'll start with Away for Slates in the 3:40 at Suddle. Then over at Fontwell, where it's a really busy day, I quite like the chances of Golden Over in the 2:50. In the big race of the day, the National Spirit, I'll take a chance each way on Sam Benedito. And in the 4:50, look no further than the top one here, Dan Skelton's Heron's Air.
Thank you very much, Andy Holding's thoughts then on the action on Sunday. And remember to join us live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Luke Elder, Mick Norton and Alistair Whitehouse-Jones in the studio for Suddle, Fontwell and Leopardstown. Thank you very much, Andy, and best of luck on Sunday.
Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.